Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Third and 14. Fields pressure again, and he is sacked again. Miles Garrett got home, and all of a sudden this Browns team that had trouble getting to the quarterback the first 2 weeks, not an issue today. That's their third. Four-man rush, pressure coming. Fields in trouble, and he's down again. Miles Garrett's got 2.5 sacks in the first half. 0 for 5 on third. Fields in trouble. Down he goes again. The sixth sack for Cleveland. Miles Garrett has 3.5. It's a new career high. And this Browns defensive line is dominating. Third and 9 for the Bears and Justin Fields.
A lot of guys standing up in the line. Do they drop? Do they come?
They're coming. Fields is in trouble. Racing away, and he's sacked again. Miles Garrett. A career day. Living in the backfield. 4.5 sacks.
Let's go down to Pam.
And when we spoke to Matt Nagy, he acknowledged that the excitement over Justin Fields starting, that what that would create. But he was also cautious trying to manage expectations for the rookie. Remember, he told us the view from 30,000 feet up from people on the outside. Put the rookie in, everything would be fine. He said it's just not that easy. It's too much to manage. It's been a bad day for Chicago down here on the sidelines. I got to tell you, these guys look like they've been hit by a truck. Back to you.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, Cam, because, you know, he also had a line this week that said, hey, Justin doesn't have to be the franchise quarterback in one day. I get that, for sure. But you also don't want his debut to be a complete disaster. And today has been a disaster. I'm not saying he's been a disaster, but their offense has been a disaster.
Yeah, I think it's been a combination of a lot of things. And, you know, unfortunately, right, wrong, or indifferent, the quarterback in any city, let alone Chicago, he's going to come under fire, and he's going to take the credit. He's going to take the blame. It's just the way the league is set up.
I obviously, as a head coach, did not do a good enough job of getting this offense ready to go, to be able to play and win a football game. So it starts with me. It ends with me.
And no one's going to argue about what happened. David has nicknamed it the Brownout, the Nagy Brownout. And good nickname, David. I like it. And it's going to leave a stain. I don't think there's any question.
What about Cleveland Clunker? Is that better? A little alliteration?
No, I mean, a loss of voltage is what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Brownout, because there was no electricity in the air, even though it was, what, First Energy Stadium? Okay, see, there's the connection. It was a brownout at First Energy.
Yeah, and you're going to get ants in your pants if that continues. There's not any way of other way of saying it. We have full phone lines. We got a lot of people with a lot of thoughts, and we're going to get right to it. 312-644-6767. Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
All right, we'll start with Nate. Nate's on the road. Good morning, Nate.
Hey, how you doing?
I've been better.
I actually enjoyed the game because I feel like Nagy is – he's so thick-headed that he has all of these special talents, and how many special – plays do we have to utilize any of these special talents? None. We had 8 million people on this planet that knew that we had to put Mitch on the move, but he wouldn't do it.
Why are you glad about that? Why? I don't understand.
That gets me to my second point, because now we have a QB that can't be taken 9-plus sacks a game. If he goes out, we don't have a chance. We, in the middle of a season, have never lost a head coach. This is time for management to make a statement, and you can't have Thanksgiving without cutting the head off. So make a move.
Wow.
Nagy, Nagy has shown us time and time again that he's not going to make adjustments, whether it's at halftime, game to game.
Okay, Nate, thanks, man. I get your frustration, but I don't know, cheering for the team to lose so they fire the head coach is a really – that's a viable plan. I think you should cheer for the head coach to maybe fire himself as the offensive coordinator, maybe let someone else try to call the plays. I disagree with Dustin. I think that Bill Lazor and the game plan that he showed with Trubisky, where they were running the ball and they were moving the kid, I think that might work with Justin Fields. I really do.
Mully, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bill Lazor wasn't removed from his job because of anything that he did wrong.
No.
He was removed from the job of play caller after last season because Matt Nagy wanted to kind of thrust himself back into that role for whatever reason. And a lot of it's tied into how we define ourselves as professionals. And Matt Nagy considers himself a play caller first, maybe a head coach next. All I'm saying is, and I think all we are saying is, redefine that. And you have to reestablish your priorities now. You, to be a better head coach, you've got to fire your play caller. And if that's you, you've got to get out of your own way. So go back to what was working last year before you ruin this season. And I think that's the key, I think, in all of this, is that we're not saying we expect the Bears to fire Matt Nagy in season. They've never done that. But I think he could fire his play caller, which is himself.
Yeah, and I think he needs to do that immediately because I think that it's a real problem and he needs different eyes on it. Let's try Greg. Greg is on the road. Good morning, Greg.
How you doing? I'm kind of going to piggyback everybody there with that Nagy needs to quit calling plays. He needs to be a head coach. The limited defense can only do so much. What else do you want from them? They got the sacks today, too, and then get the ball back, and he can't score points. Nagy doesn't score points. I don't know what his average is over his head coaching career, but it's not
enough.
Good.
Not enough.
That's right.
I did my math. Not enough.
That's it.
I think when we talk about Nagy, we talk about him as play caller, and he's below 18 points a game, David. And here's the thing. He's significantly below it now. I mean, that's going to leave a mark, a six-point game where you're calling plays and going nowhere. You managed a field goal because you didn't go for it on fourth down. You had an opportunity to kick a field goal, and you did so. And the other one was a pass down the field, which was a very questionable call, if we're being honest about it. But they finally got a call, and they got the ball in the red zone, and they couldn't move, obviously. So they settled for a field goal to try to close it to 13-6, keep it within a touchdown. And I had no problem with that decision. I didn't think they were going to get a fourth down because they couldn't get a first down.
Who really thought they were going to move the ball 2.5 yards? I mean, really, after watching that offense all day long, I understand what all the go-for-it crowd was saying and all the metrics they were clinging to. But who really, after watching that game, thought with their eyes that they had seen an offense capable of getting the tough yard when they needed to? Nobody. Nobody. And, Mully, you know, when your most productive offensive snap comes courtesy of a bad call by an official, that's when it should send you back to the drawing board and starting over, because that's where the Bears are. That was a bad call. That was not pass interference. That was kind of just incidental contact, and the Bears were gifted that gain, and they couldn't take advantage of it.
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, that's your best play. And hey, it does underscore that when you go downfield, good things can happen. But like I said, goodness gracious. Bob is in LaGrange. Good morning, Bob.
Why is no one seeing what really happened? Every single time they went on a single count, Daniels put up a finger and the ball came out then. Let me say it again. They use the same silent count.
The entire game.
Daniels put up a finger.
Yes. They never changed the snap count. That's absolutely right. And they still jumped offside.
What you think Gary's going to do after that, Miles Garrett? What do you think Clowney's going to do? And then you got Peters over there with no help. What about the max protection? Nobody's talking about that. and if Dalton would have been there, been the same thing. They would cross the line in 2 seconds, period. And Jay Hildenberger said it's criminal that Callahan did what he did. He, you know, he had no match protection, and he had. And by the way, what did Nagy do? I told you he didn't want to play him. He didn't roll the kid out. After the interview, the kids say, we're going to go to Nagy, and they're going to talk about what he comes with. Why not this time? He didn't roll him out. He didn't get him on the edge. No quarterback run. Now, if you saw what happened last night, San Francisco was down the 2-yard line. They put three players to the right, and they ran Trey Lance to the left with a tackle in front of him. Bingo.
Yeah. That was Trent Williams, by the way. Pretty good tackle to put in front of your rookie quarterback. Pretty nice play design. But, Mully, I was watching the Packers and the 49ers, as I'm sure you were, and thinking to myself, boy, this looks good. Look at the sequence of plays. But you know what? I worried that Matt Nagy was going to look at that and feel more empowered to get fancy the next time that he took himself to the meeting room and started to draw up next week's game plan.
You know, we talked about it on the pregame show here on The Score, that when you defined what Kevin Stefanski does with that Cleveland offense, that is exactly the idea of what you need to do with the Bears offense. It is not about trying to copy what Kansas City does. It's not about trying to build in all these different plays. It's about melding your quarterback and your scheme perfectly. And that's why the guy went into the game with an 81.6 completion percentage. Now, they limited him. He only got like 62% or something, which is bad for Cleveland.
Right.
But that's the kind of thing. And you saw him run effectively. You saw him do some things, hand the damn ball off that really, really paid dividends once you got to the fourth quarter, as it does in the running game.
Great example, because Bears fans had to be somewhat jealous and envious watching a coach, an offensive-minded coach, marry scheme to skill as well as Kevin Stefanski did and has done quickly. It's a second year, and already we're seeing this with Baker Mayfield pay dividends, because why, Mully? He's not the – you can say many things about Baker Mayfield, but that team's identity is not rooted in the quarterback. That team's identity is rooted in the offensive line and the running game and the way the quarterback skill set complements the scheme. And all these things are about a coach understanding his roster and implementing the scheme around the talents of that roster. That is what the Bears want to look like once they grow up. But right now, they're far from that team.
Our buddy John is in Joliet. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, I don't even know where to begin other than Matt Nagy. I am very proud of you that you did not run a jet sweep, because that would have really put the cherry on top. Unbelievable, guys. Just totally disgusting. I mean, the revolving door that we have as an offensive line is just horrendous. I mean, watching the 1-13 Chicago Bears was more satisfying than watching the garbage we watched yesterday. Matt Nagy, I don't want to hear about your watching the films. We got to work on this. We got to work on that. It's time. It's time, and I know it's not going to happen, but you fired Lovie Smith after a winning season, and we're putting up 4 years of this trash, this garbage, this fluke of a coach. This man is not no guru. Oh, my God. Matt Nagy, you made me so mad. I hate exercising, but you made me go for a walk yesterday. I was so pissed.
Wow, John, that is – ouch. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, David, I mean, that you hear the frustration in his voice, and we're hearing it in a lot of people's voices. And we're going to stay with this. We're going to get more phone calls. We're going to take your calls. We're going to have I think we need a therapy session for all of us, for the love of God. Feel free to get it out. Let's talk about it. 312-644-6767. The worst thing you can do is bottle it up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Offensively, we get to a third and one, and we have a false start. So there's a theme there, and that starts with me. I'm obviously not doing a good enough job of making sure that those guys are prepared in those situations. We didn't convert then, and so you go back to third and six, and then we don't convert. And I think that's in those moments you got to take advantage of that. And it just was, we weren't able to get in a rhythm. They did a good job of getting first downs, but our defense did a good job of holding them, whether it was the two fourth down stops and the sacks, or whether it was just being able to do enough to keep us in it. So in the end, there was no rhythm.
Yeah, there was no rhythm, and they did get a first down. I'm surprised you didn't point that out. They were 1 of 11 on third down attempts. Yeah. So they got the one, David, and that right. was early. That was very
well,
early.
Well, I think you heard Matt Nagy sound, dare I say, as humble as we've heard him, Molly. I think he has been humbled, and that was humiliating to watch the Bears offense struggle to that degree. And just real quick, we called it coming in maybe the low water mark. You know, we both have covered this team for a long time, you longer than I have. But my recollections go back to Dick Geron. You know, he had Henry Burris. Lovey had his moments with Jonathan Quinn, Craig Krenzel, and et cetera. Mark Trestman had his moment. He actually benched Jay Cutler for Jimmy Clausen. John Fox had his Mike Glennon era. But yesterday felt like that was rock bottom for Matt Nagy, because disappointment-wise, with the expectations for Justin Fields, having the hype, having the hope, having it all invested, and then seeing that to me felt like all those other horrid examples, putrid examples of football quarterbacking in the NFL, because it was coaching abandonment. That was what happened yesterday. I don't hold it against Justin Fields, but that to me was as bad as it gets when it comes to Bears quarterback examples.
Wow. What's interesting about that statement is that it sort of goes into the face of the reason the guy was hired, right? So the guy was hired from Kansas City because he was the guy that could put healing hands on Mitch Trubisky. And we were going to see why they traded up for Mitch and why he was the second overall pick. And then you had this disaster with Nick Foles being brought in. You know, I mean, we don't even worry about Mike Glennon or any of that stuff. Let's just talk about what happened with Nick Foles, and that turned into a train wreck. And it was all about, well, Nagy needs someone who can run the scheme, and we can get someone who can run the scheme. And then they get another bite at the apple, right? Trade four draft picks to trade up Justin Fields. And now everybody, I mean, we had this horrible thing where we were talking about, God, how could the Bears come back, and what are they going to do, and how are they? Oh, well, they're going to get Russell Wilson. No, they're going to get Deshaun Watson. They should have gotten him first time. No, they end up getting the draft pick, getting the guy in here. This is their version of Patrick Mahomes. This is all that we're going to see from this offense. It's going to be a perfect wedding of this quarterback guru with this great young quarterback. And unfortunately, he's apparently forced onto the field too early. He's apparently not being put into positions where he can succeed. We saw it last week when he came in. It was like, wow, hey, wait a minute. Why aren't you calling the special plays for this guy? Right. Why are you running the same offense you ran for Andy Dalton? Oh, no, don't worry.
Thank you.
Now that he gets a week, he's going to be able to do all the thing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to sit down with him, and we're going to find out what he likes to run, and we're going to run it for him. Oh, my God. Matt, you got no offensive line, and you're not chipping. You're not helping. You're just leaving guys on an island against legitimate number one overall draft picks.
Right. Myles Garrett, for goodness sakes. Look, and Molly, talk me out of this because, I don't want to go full meatball here, and I don't want to overstate. And I'm certainly not comparing Justin Fields to these other quarterbacks and that were on that list that I just went through. But do you know what I'm saying in terms of just the investment and in hope? There was so much surrounding the wait for Justin Fields, and it wasn't as long as some people had feared. And there he was, NFL first start. We think everything is going to be great. We've been waiting for this moment. And then that's where I think, boom. Your emotions plummet because of what we saw in the way of execution and approach. And that, to me, was what underscored the disappointment.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Rick is in Elk Grove. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call again, man.
Thanks for making it.
I approached last week when I called in and said that Matt Nagy was a cancer. Well, to add on to that, he's also an egotistical enigma. And personally, I'm tired. I know the city's tired. They made that really clear last night on Twitter. But then to add on to that, we got a couple legends, Bears legends, on post-game live just completely destroying the guy. And if he can't wake up and smell the Folgers brewing, I don't know who will do it for him. But the fact is, when he gave power to Bill Lazor last season, it changed Mitch and it changed our trajectory going into the playoffs. Yeah, we got exited out in the first round, but he's not working. He's not working. And if it takes all of this, legends, fan base, seeing the game visually for yourself, then he does have to step down immediately. Immediately. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank
he's not
you,
going
Rick.
Anywhere. Step down as head coach. He's not going to do that. They're not going to fire him. He may change who calls plays, and I'm sure he's going to be asked that today. And I can't guarantee anything. I'm not going to be there, but I would be shocked if he's not asked about who's going to call plays against the Lions. But I cannot see him stepping down or getting fired or removed as head coach.
We gotta calm down a little bit. I don't think a guy making that kind of dough with whatever he's got, four kids, is going to resign in shame. I do think that he needs to – I love that term. I do think that he
you
needs
do.
To to relinquish play-calling duties and to just give up on trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, Jerry Angelo. You just can't, you can't run that scheme if it doesn't favor the people that run the scheme. Here's what we've seen from that scheme. Just a quick reminder, that scheme works when you got Pro Bowl tackles that you're leaving alone. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, when they went, when they, the second half opened and they went empty backfield and tried to tried to go two-minute drill and just change the rhythm, I literally let out, like, I screamed into the couch cushion because I was being too loud every time the kid got set. I was like, oh, whoa! Like, I was making noises on my couch, and I was trying not to disturb the family. You know, the kids got homework. My wife was doing some things and had to work yesterday. We had a busy, busy day around the house. And there's Mulligan sitting on his couch screaming at the television. And I realize that the problem isn't with me. Why am I shocked by this? The problem is you're trying to make this kid do something that's been proven. It was proven in the Super Bowl. If you don't have tackles, Dak, you're going to be absolutely under siege. So you got arguably the best player in the league in the Super Bowl, and he's getting beaten senseless because he has no tackles. You're going to do that with a rookie?
Yeah. You don't force fit it. If it were basketball, you don't take a gifted scorer and make him point guard to distribute. You don't limit his potential in ways that, you know, affect the entire team. And Matt Nagy needs to recognize the fact that, I think, in fairness, and this one won't go over well this morning, but he can be a pretty good head coach. He's a lousy play caller. And the fact that he's a lousy play caller is getting in the way of people recognizing and realizing or acknowledging that he can be a pretty good head coach.
He wasn't much of a play caller when they hired him. Okay.
No,
I mean, he had just taken on that role. He'd done it for half a season, and he messed the bed in the playoffs. It's just a fact. So why are we pretending anything else has happened here? Eric is on the road. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? First time caller from Kenosha. I had fun this summer teasing all of my Green Bay friends at work about they're going to lose a quarterback and know what it's like to be in quarterback hell. But they're laughing at me again. I almost don't want to go to work today because of it. We need to get rid of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, bring Lewis Riddick in here, and get this kid set up right. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, you know. Green Bay, by the way, 51-yard walk-off game-winning field goal for Mason Crosby. That gives the Packers a 30-28 win over the Niners. If you couldn't stay up for the conclusion, Rodgers completed two deep passes to Davante Adams on a last-minute drill, and they now lead the division, right? We talked about everybody losing on week one. Guess what? The Bears are now tied with Minnesota. Minnesota had a nice win for themselves, their first win of the year, 30-17 over the Seahawks, who are now 1-2, as are the Bears, as is Minnesota.
That was a shocker, the fact that Vikings took care of business as they did. And, Mully, not only did Aaron Rodgers do what he did, but he had 37 seconds, no timeouts, and he completed the passes that everybody in the stadium and watching on the television sets across America knew he had to complete, and he did it anyway. And then they get with a walk-off field goal, the second one of the day, affecting the NFC North teams. But, yeah, the Packers, that was a great game.
Kendall is in Naperville. Good morning, Kendall.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, as terrible as the product is on the field, I really think the bigger issue is the fact that it was apparent to a lot of people that last year we needed a front office management reset. And we didn't do it. And I can still hear Ted Phillips in that press conference just infuriating. Have we won enough games? No. Have we gotten the quarterback right? No. I was like, give me a break. And now we're delaying that reset yet another year. And they're going to be terrible this year. It's pretty clear. And they're going to have to reset it after this year. And we've delayed it again. And now it's just going to take that much longer for us to maybe have a winner in my lifetime. And it's pretty frustrating. That's all I got.
Well, take care of yourself and live long, because it could take a while.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I'm good. You know, I talked to Nick and Andy on the sideline, and, you know, it's football. You know, you have these days. You just got to bounce back and come back better, and we just got to get better as a whole. So I know me personally, I'm going to get back working harder than ever and, you know, just try to keep getting better each and every day.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's Justin Fields, and he joins the list of rookie quarterbacks that are still looking for a victory. Teams that start a rookie are now 1-10 this season. The only victory was, of course, rookie Mac Jones over Zach Wilson. Other than that, a rookie hasn't been able to get a victory. And that's all fine and well. And I think we look around and think about these things. Was that the worst start among rookies? Or are you going with the four interception game that that Zach Wilson had? How do you determine how wretched the performance was? And it's not, I'm not blaming Justin Fields. I'm more blaming Matt Nagy. But
yeah, and I think that's why I would think Zach Wilson throwing four picks, somewhere in the midst of those four picks, even though we haven't broken down that tape necessarily, I think the poor judgment by the quarterback would have contributed to the turnovers. Justin Fields had no chance. I mean, they gave him no help. He had no chance. So I don't hold him necessarily as responsible for making some of the decisions before he was put in the best position to make them. And that's why I would say that somebody who turns the ball over four times was a worse outing than anything we saw yesterday from Justin Fields.
I saw Jim Miller on the post game, and he said that he saw some bad habits that were kind of sneaking into Justin Fields' game, that his feet, he was moving his feet on some throws. I think when you are under siege and you are as beleaguered as he was in that game, that's the danger, that you start developing bad habits because the pass rush is getting to you, because you don't trust the ability of the offensive line to protect you, so your eyes can move. Can move down. You could be looking at the rush instead of looking at what you're trying to see, and that is the worst thing that can happen, and that's how you foul up a quarterback, quite frankly, and that's really the biggest worry out of this game.
What have we been saying since August? What have we been saying since the day that Justin Fields reported for training camp, Mully, and all of the people that were in such a hurry to get him to the field? And I understand why in terms of the athletic ability, but you don't want him to develop bad habits behind an offensive line that clearly cannot protect him. That was one of the factors. Not necessarily can he process information, can he read a defense, can he diagnose a blitz, as much as protecting him from the offensive line that can't. So I think that's what we saw yesterday too.
I just think that you can't put a guy behind an offensive line that you ask to handle one-on-one assignments and they are incapable of doing it. It's as simple as that. You want to, and I don't know if it's a scheme issue. Matt Nagy is just insane with the scheme stuff. It's, you know, a question is asked about, well, that scheme, you know, hold on a second.
Scheme.
Morocco Mole, come in and answer that question. We got to figure out a way to get Secret Squirrel free. It is just, it's like the craziest response. This guy, it's like, he's so clandestine, but you got your arse handed to you, sir. It's like you can protect the ideas all you want, but everybody knows, everyone is seeing the same thing, except the guy that, you know, is wallpapering his plays up. 312-644-6767. Let's try Bill. He's in Warrenville. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, thank you so much for this therapy session. I'm actually laying on my couch. I think I'm going to dedicate it for the season.
Hang in there.
Anyway, what's up? Yeah, it seems like we're in the meatball sack Nagy Monday. So, you know, well-deserved, though. And I was calling in and saying, you know, I was thinking last night, it reminded me of Band of Brothers. I don't know if you guys saw it. I'm assuming you did.
Sure.
Remember when David Swimmers was the captain and he was in the heat of the battle and his plan went to hell in a handbasket, and they're all looking at him, and he's like, do this and do that, and he got all of his guys killed. It seems like we're in the same type of scenario with the Band of Brothers. I think Dalton and here's the meatball state, and Dalton and Foles need to go to George and say, hey, your rookie's going to get killed out there if you don't sack this guy. I know it's not going to happen. But, again, it's a therapy session, fellas. It's a therapy session.
Yes. Thanks for the call.
I like I like the sharing. Meatball Monday, I like that too.
Meatball Monday, definitely here on the Score all day. I think that the point of that, though, is also not lost on all of us. Look, somebody has to intervene here, and somebody has to get to Matt Nagy. I don't know who that is, Mully. I don't know. When you surround yourself with people who are typically, number one, happy to have a job, and number two, like-minded, you're not going to get dissent. And I think the best leaders surround themselves with people who aren't afraid to offer a disparate point of view, somebody who's not afraid to challenge conventional wisdom. And if Matt Nagy's conventional wisdom is to cling to this scheme no matter what, come hell or high water, then he needs somebody to stand up and say, you know what, Matt, you might want to rethink this. I don't know who that person is at Hallis Hall, but they need to find him quickly.
Let's try Ryan. Ryan's in Roscoe Village.
Hey, guys, what's going on? I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of being spit in the face by this Bears organization. The fact that they did not fire Matt Nagy the second that plane touched down at O'Hare last night is a spit in the face. The press conference they held at the end of the year is a spit in the face. You know what organizations don't spit in their fans' faces? The Rams, the Patriots. How about, we're going to get back to 2018. No, you're not, because you know what happened in 2018? He went down the hall after making a game plan, and he asked Vic Fangio, hey, Vic, what do you think? Does this look good? And Vic would be like, no, this looks so stupid. Figure it out!
Oh, my God.
Wow. Go Rams.
I'm telling you, primal screams work during Bears games. It's helpful. You'll get through it. I gave one myself.
Can we get a sponsor for Meatball Monday?
That sounds good. Yeah. We get that would be, you know, those guys get chicken, we get meatballs brought in from someplace. I like it.
Why not?
I like meatballs. Yeah, it's good for you too, right? There's no carbs. Yeah. Edwin, maybe minimal carbs. Sometimes the bread's
a
binder.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Edwin.
Hey, you know, this Matt Nagy dude, he reminds me of Jim Boylan and Mike Martz, this scientific dude is trying to reinvent the wheel, and then nothing is getting done. I think Mitch Trubisky got a raw deal, and he's doing the same thing to Justin Fields. And I also think that the leadership of this team is reflected from upstairs, so they need to do something about everything, man. That's all I got.
Thanks, Edwin. Appreciate the phone call. Mike Martz, his name came up yesterday. Did you see what I tweeted out about Mike Martz?
Yeah, Molly? I laughed at that.
Greg Olson did a fine job in the first half, but Mike Martz thinks he can do better.
Let's squeeze in John. He's in Lexington. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Two things. First of all, you brought Matt Nagy in because he's supposed to be some offensive guru. And the first year and a half, a couple trick plays, it was great. But it's been downhill ever since. And my second point is, Eddie Jackson changed his number to number 4. Isn't that what golfers yell to tell people to get out of the way because the ball's coming?
He gets out of the way because the ball carrier's coming?
Yeah, well played. Well played. Yeah, I don't like to disparage the jersey number 4. It's one I wore in college, but I do think it was a good joke. It's a good line. So.
Wow. You wore 4 in college. You never told me that. That's great.
Yeah, I did. I was number 4. I was maybe a little bit slightly more willing tackler than Eddie Jackson looked like yesterday, but I had to be because that was the only reason I was out there. But I think that we need to talk about the defense. We got tons of callers. We got Tom Thayer coming up and Olin after that. But, Mully, at some point we need to talk about whether this was an encouraging sign for the defense or not.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got Tom Thayer next. We're going to get inside the mind of the great man, and we'll do that here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.